I saw John Williams at the Hollywood Bowl last night for the first time in my life, and I wanted to give a little review. The concert was called John Williams, Maestro of the Movies, and the first half actually consisted of David Newman conducting the orchestra in a variety of film selections. A lot of the music was played to montages from the films, Lawrence of Arabia, The Godfather, Sabrina, Casablanca, also An American in Paris. The second half of the program is, of course, what I came for. It was John Williams conducting his own music. The maestro himself walked out onto the stage to thunderous applause, naturally.
We will always miss him.
He dedicated the concert to the late Kobe Bryant,
yes, dedicated to Kobe,
which touched my LA heart. And then he conducted music from the Olympics, Raiders of the Lost Ark, of course, Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, the BFG. He had a gleam in his eye when he introduced Marion's theme from Raiders of the Lost Ark. He said that he really loved her. One of the pieces on the program was Scherzo for Motorcycle and Orchestra, which is from Indiana Jones' The Last Crusade. Scherzo in Italian just means joke. And of course, Star Wars fans probably know Scherzo for X-Wing from The Force Awakens. He shared that he was pretty proud of that piece and a little bit disappointed when he went to the theater with Steven Spielberg to watch the movie, and you could barely hear the piece at all. I'm sure he was partially joking, but he said that his little composer ego was bruised because all you could hear in that scene was the motorcycles, was the loud sound of the motorcycles, and it was burying his music, and you could barely hear it. So he sort of made a joke and said, and now we're going to play Scherzo for Motorcycle and Orchestra without the motorcycles. The reason I point that out is not to point out how funny John Williams is, but to just show the reality of what happens when films are put together. There are so many competing elements, and even someone like John Williams can ultimately have his music buried by other things going on. It's just part of what happens. And that is the value of listening to film music, both inside of the movie and outside of the movie, because you kind of hear two different versions and hear how important editorially the music ends up being in the end. And the same thing happens with other aspects of filmmaking too. You could have a costume designer like make the most beautiful costume, but then when it's actually in the film, it could be completely covered by like some big accessory. It doesn't make the costume any less valuable. It's just filmmaking is a collaborative art. Collaboration comes with compromises. And that's one of the things that makes film so cool. Now let's talk Star Wars. Arguably, it wouldn't be a Star Wars or a John Williams concert without the classic throne room and end credits from A New Hope. If the concert was any indication of how he normally does it, John Williams seems to take the throne room slower in concert than it was in Star Wars A New Hope. That was the film tempo, about 116 beats per minute, maestoso in character, which means majestic in Italian. Now let's compare it to the concert tempo again. It's about 104 beats per minute, as opposed to 116. What's up with that? Why is it so much slower at the concert? We could ask instead why it's played so fast in the film. Perhaps John Williams prefers it slower and only conducted at such a fast pace for the film because he had to fit it into the scene. Or maybe his taste has just changed. That's a thing. If you look up famous conductors and you look at all the recordings that they've done over the decades, you'll often hear different interpretations and different speeds performed by the same person. There are also practical considerations. When playing in a large outdoor venue like the Hollywood Bowl, it's more difficult to keep an acoustic orchestra playing without a click track together because of the way sound travels and the delay between the speed of light and speed of sound waves.
Physics.
Maybe it's a combination of the above. Maybe it's just the vibe that felt best for the orchestra and for the situation and all of the constraints and just the mood and everything all combined. Who knows? But I liked it. It made the piece last longer, and it made it easier to savor some of the details in the orchestration. About that, I think it's important to note that what we heard at the concert wasn't actually the throne room and end title as we hear it on the original motion picture soundtrack. It was a concert suite. We can tell from the extra orchestration details and the addition of other themes, like the Force theme and Planetary Descent, as Frank Lehman calls it, which you may recognize as the thing that plays when we touch down on Tatooine. But back to the orchestration details, which I very much enjoyed during the concert. For example, there's a part where the violins anchor the main melody with a robust series of slurred 16th notes to quarter note figures. And I just love this arpeggiated cello pizzicato in the Force theme. It's so good. Speaking of that Force theme moment, this is one of the many thematic transitions we hear in the Throne Room and Finale concert suite, as opposed to the soundtrack version. And at the concert, John Williams led the orchestra through those transitions in a really delicate way that stood out to me. For comparison, let's listen to an excerpt from a previously made recording of the concert suite. Pay attention to how the march flows into the Force theme. One more time, in case you missed it. Now let's hear that same part as it was performed live at the Hollywood Bowl. It's quite dramatic. It's like a very cushioned landing. Like, and you can see it in his conducting technique too. And he starts beating out each individual note, which is something conductors do oftentimes when they're either trying to slow something down or trying to get something exactly right that won't necessarily just naturally fall in place on its own. If you're watching this, here's a creepy close-up of John Williams' hands, and then we'll move on. John Williams really conducts an allargando into those transitions, which means gradually becoming slower and more stately. And then when we get to the themes, they're soft and tender. And this is something unique and something really exaggerated in the live performance, or at least the live performance that I heard. I don't know how they all are, but I thought that was really, you know, it just caught my attention. It caught my attention because it's not something I'm used to hearing. I feel like a lot can be gleaned from watching a conductor do their thing. You kind of see like the parts they're getting excited. You kind of see the parts where their motions get really big. You see the parts where they start getting more like aggressive and more boisterous. And you see the parts where they kind of shrink down, where they're directing their attention, if they're looking toward the trumpets. There are just like certain movements that you can catch when you watch the conductor live. And there's so much more to it than just like waving hands around and keeping a beat. Conductors communicate a lot in a very small space and with very compact set of gestures. It's actually kind of amazing. I want to talk about signs of life. So let's talk about the Hollywood Bowl as a venue for a second. Now, in the Hollywood Bowl, it is hard to pick up on a lot of the intimate details because it's such a massive setting. It's outdoors. It's a venue that relies on amplification. Because of that, a lot of softer moments and a lot of really tiny subtleties that you would only pick up on in a tiny room are missed. But even under those conditions, I was delighted to hear signs of life in the orchestra. I'll explain. By signs of life, I mean the subtle inconsistencies and surprises that make it apparent to me that I'm listening to human performers playing acoustic instruments, playing individual instruments all together in real time, rather than a highly precise, edited, computer-programmed orchestral rendering or some like hyper-edited, smoothed-out recording. By subtle inconsistencies, I don't mean mistakes. I just mean the natural inconsistencies that are just a byproduct of everyone playing on a different instrument with slightly different distributions of harmonic resonance and different speeds of vibrato, using slightly different fingerings. For example, the resonance of an open E string is different than the resonance on an E that is fingered. I'll keep switching off. So these notes I'm playing have the same pitch, E5, but they don't have the same timbre or sound quality. The open E is brighter, the fingered E is more subdued, and overall the texture, vibrato, and overtones are all in constant fluctuation. These subtle signs of life were especially apparent to me during things like Yoda's theme and the flying theme from E.T. Wish you could hear them, and I wish I had more footage. Oh, I will also say that there was actually like one mistake that I noticed, and it was a little part where the timing was off. In the throne room, here's a clip. And you can hear that one section gets ahead of the other for like a brief moment, and then they get back on track. And while it's not desirable to make mistakes like that all the time, and you know, it would tip to being a bad thing if the entire concert was like the orchestra not playing together, but moments where there's slight mistakes kind of like make it feel a little bit more real to me. And I find that exciting. It's like how solid wood has a grain to it and like a unique pattern, as opposed to composite wood, which will look more perfect, more consistent, engineered to be really cohesive. I've gone off the rails. I'm sure you can tell what I prefer. So overall, I thought the concert was fantastic. The lighting was beautiful. There was green during Yoda's theme, red during the Imperial March, and I was very fond of the rainbow look during the BFG. The Los Angeles Philharmonic is John Williams' home orchestra, and a lot of the people on stage probably also played in the recording orchestra for the sequel films. The performance felt energetic, but not frenetic, not rushed. They really played with rhythmic integrity, and they had a lot of integrity in the way that they approached notes, cut off notes without holding them for longer than delineated in the music. And I didn't feel like they were approximating note values and note lengths or approximating certain rhythms that it's easy to be a little bit lazy on. And this really allowed the intended rhythms that John Williams composed, you know, the things in the actual music, to shine. This isn't something to take for granted. As any up-and-coming composer knows, when you compose something for orchestra, you rely on the orchestra to carry out your vision. So it is fantastic when an orchestra does that. And when it comes to rhythms, making sure that you're not overstepping rests, it really takes one player to mess it up. If you're banking on everyone being silent during a silence, everyone has to nail it. Anyway, I also thought the orchestra was pretty good at following the conductor through his rubato moments and, you know, sort of expressive parts and the deliberate approaches to the transitions between themes. Anyway, I'm spending all this time talking about the LA Phil because orchestras aren't machines and their precision and passion should not be taken for granted. Performers are the ones who bring the composer's vision to life, and it is a gift to have a musician play your work. John Williams knows this more than anyone. He's known in the industry amongst players as someone who treats his orchestras like royalty. He has great reverence for the symbiotic relationship between composers and performers, and it's honestly quite beautiful. Almost done here, but I can't end this review without at least mentioning picture versus no picture. In the first half of the concert, there was a lot of footage being played. I'm just going to be honest. I hadn't seen most of those films, so I kind of need to brush up on my classic film knowledge, I guess. But I think the downside to showing film is that it can take away from the music a little bit. So I really appreciated that in the second half, when it was John Williams conducting his own music from blockbusters, basically like Star Wars and Indiana Jones, there was no visual. And I tremendously appreciated that. I don't know how it normally is at John Williams concerts, but oh, I'm so glad that they did not play footage. I don't like having footage while music is playing. I instinctively feel the need to fracture my attention. I get too caught up in what is being shown, whether or not I think that fits. I don't need extra things to nitpick. And also, I know as an orchestral player myself, I feel less into it when I'm playing something to film footage because I feel like, okay, no one's really looking at me. I can just relax. See, and that's why I'm not in the LA Phil. Another reason I'm so glad that they didn't put a screen in front of us is because John Williams notoriously does not conduct to a click track when he is recording his film scores. He likes to be free when he conducts. And when you put a picture in front of someone, then you have to stay to the picture. You have to make sure that you're hitting the beats at the same time as the picture. By picture, I mean the film or the video, because the picture is already fixed. That is already a fixed medium. And when you're an orchestra playing a live concert or you're conducting an orchestra, you are the live element. So to me, it wouldn't make sense to go to a live concert to hear a live element that has to stick to a fixed element. If you're watching this or listening to this and you do prefer when they play footage, it's fine that you have that preference. Seriously, if you disagree, I'm super down to hear your opinion. I feel like it wouldn't allow for all those delicious, sumptuous, indulgent, cushiony, tender, deliberate, placed transitions that he was so fond of doing last night. Just like he talked about when introducing Scherzo for Motorcycle and Orchestra. Normally, when he does music for film, the music takes a backseat to the film, as it should. But when at a concert, this is actually the time for the music to not be beholden to the image anymore. So good job, Hollywood Bowl. Good job, concert people. Now, if I could change anything about the concert, it would be to hear more pieces that were not just the hits, like that were not just the main absolute like blockbuster musical hits of John Williams. Or even just to hear something like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Heartbeeps, I don't know, just like any of the, I hesitate to say deep cuts because I feel like so much of John Williams's work is not even a deep cut, but just compared to other John Williams stuff, like some of these things would be a little bit deeper. It even would have been nice to hear something from the prequels or something from the sequel films, like to hear one of those new concert suites or just anything that wasn't the original trilogy. But I'm not going to complain about hearing Yoda's theme and the throne room and the Imperial March. Definitely not going to complain about that. But still, this is an issue I mostly have with pop's concerts in general. I totally understand their popularity, and there is a popularity, like these tickets do sell. But just for my personal taste, I don't tend to like going to pop's concerts where like the greatest hits are always played. And that's how a lot of outdoor bowl concerts are. That's how a lot of summertime concerts are. And that's how a lot of film music concerts are. And I guess that's why this was my first time seeing John Williams. Actually, I don't want to be glib about that. And I don't want to brush it off as merely a matter of refined personal taste, because concert accessibility is important. And I don't want to remove that nuance. I myself am autistic, and that is an inextricable part of the body, the brain, the lens through which I experience and perceive events. In arts journalism, there's a pressure to speak from a falsely neutral point of view. And by neutral, I mean some imaginary avatar of an average audience member with no special needs or circumstances that would dare influence their experience. But I don't have to pretend to be that audience member in order to give a valid review on my own channel. Truthfully, the biggest reason I avoid pop's concerts and concerts at the Hollywood Bowl is because they're usually not so easy for autistic people like me to handle. I find it very stressful to go there, incredibly harrowing to navigate the various steps. I get overstimulated very quickly, and there's a high chance I'll have a meltdown if I can't get myself calm and under control before the show starts. In fact, when I was first invited to this concert, I declined because I didn't think I could handle it. It wasn't until my mom sprung on isolated garden box seats that I thought I could even handle sitting through this concert. And clearly that was not for a lack of burning passion for Star Wars music and John Williams. Clearly that is the entire point of my podcast and channel, is Star Wars music. But that's just how it is, and I can't dismiss my reality. So what can I say? People are complex. Suffice to say, I had an incredible time at this concert. It was a huge treat to see John Williams conduct his own music. I was not prepared for how excited I got when he played the Imperial March. I was very excited when that happened. And it's funny because I'm not someone who gets very excited at anything. It surprised even me when I started like screaming and I felt like a kid and I felt like, I don't know, it was pretty amazing.
On a final note, very important,
I really have to thank my mom. These tickets were a gift from her and our seats were amazing. I was in my very happy fan place. If you're out there watching this concert review, then chances are you like John Williams or Star Wars. I would confidently recommend that if you ever have the opportunity to see him perform live, to go do that. I hope you check out some more videos or podcasts and let me know if there are any topics related to Star Wars music that you'd like me to cover. If you want to know more about what it's like playing under John Williams's baton, if you want to know what it's like from the point of view of a musician who played on the soundtracks, there are three videos on this channel or on this podcast that feature interviews with members of the recording orchestras that performed on The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, and The Rise of Skywalker. As always, thanks for watching, thanks for listening, and I hope to be back with another Star Wars Music Minute soon.